From the Diocese of Gallup, welcome to CrozierCast. I'm Suzanne Hammonds, Director of Communications, and as always, with me is your host, Bishop Wall. Bishop Wall, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Suzanne. How are you doing?
Good. Can't complain at all. So we wanted to open it up today a little bit to talk about the Knights of Columbus, which, for those who are not familiar with this organization, I can guarantee you've seen them at a Mass. They have the hats and the different colors, the swords, the white gloves. They're really hard to miss.
Capes, they get to wear capes.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are the fourth degree.
Yeah, so we wanted to bring it covered a little bit because maybe people aren't as familiar with what the Knights do, what their mission is. And to start it off, maybe talk a little bit about your recent travel to the conference. Was it a national conference or a state conference?
So what they call it, it's called the Supreme Conference. And it's not just for the United States, but it's an international gathering of knights, because we have Knights of Columbus in the United States and Canada and Mexico, long, long history of knights there. And then we also have knights in countries like the Philippines and Poland, and so it's, Lithuania, a number of other places. And so it's really becoming a universal fraternity, and it's actually the largest Catholic fraternal organization in the world. And so it's what we call the Supreme Convention, and we do it every year, usually about the first week in August, and we do it in different cities. And so this year we had it in St. Louis, which was a beautiful place to gather, great place. And just a quick little shout to my brother knights in the state of Missouri. They did a phenomenal job. Their hospitality was off the charts. That's usually how the knights are anyways, but I thought the Missouri knights were exceptional.
That's awesome. And we had some local people who were elected to leadership, correct? I think you mentioned
that. We had one. Our state deputy, Mr. Patrick Mason, who's local here in the Diocese of Gallup and even in the city of Gallup. He's an attorney, a husband, a father of three, and he was elected to the board of directors for the Knights of Columbus, which was, for lack of better words, kind of a big deal. And so at Mass on Sunday, I mentioned it toward the end and pointed him out and thoroughly embarrassed him. But I wanted to draw attention to this, him being elected to this. But I also, any chance I get toward the end of Mass, I like to mention the Knights and let the gentlemen who are in the assembly, let them know that I believe that every Catholic gentleman who is a Catholic who's in good standing really should be a member of the Knights of Columbus, because they are thoroughly Catholic through and through. And it's not just simply about being a member of the Knights and doing the things that the Knights do, but what they receive in return is incredible, because what it does is it helps to form, the Knights of Columbus help to form strong, faithful Catholic men. So it's a great vehicle for that. And that's why I always say I believe that every Catholic gentleman in good standing should be a member of the Knights of Columbus. I myself am a fourth degree Knight of Columbus, proud fourth degree in Knight of Columbus. I came into the Knights in 1994 or 95. I can't remember which of the years it was, but I came into my local council is, and I should give a shout to that, to the number 3121, the Father Patterson Council, named after a great priest who served St. Mary's Parish, my home parish in Chandler, faithfully. And then I'm also a member of the 3029 fourth degree assembly, and that's back in Phoenix as well. And so I became a knight when I was in the seminary, and I never regret the day that I became a knight, and I'm always thankful that I have become a knight. And I love interacting with my brother knights, and that's precisely who they are. They are my brother knights, and I like to encourage them in the good work that they do, all for the name of the church. But yeah, it's the world's largest Catholic fraternal organization. So all those people can't be wrong, right? So there's something there, something seriously there.
So I have to ask then, if you're a fourth degree member of the Knights of Columbus, does that mean you could wear a sword at Mass? Or does that kind of clash with the whole?
Well, I have to carry my crozier, so I don't know if I could carry a sword. But I do have a sword.
Yeah.
And when I arrived here in Gallup, the local council presented me with a sword. So I do have a sword, and I happily and proudly display it on the walls, on the wall in my office, right next to a picture of the founder of the Knights of Columbus, Father Michael J. McGivney,
yeah.
And who we continue to pray for his beatification and ultimately his canonization. He was a great man, great man. So I do have a sword.
And probably having a crozier that turns into a sword doesn't
that's
exactly
a
work.
I am a fourth degree, so maybe maybe I can get special permission for that.
But okay, but so going into more of actually what the organization does, what is their day-to-day mission? So a lot of times they'll be at special masses, but what do you know? You mentioned the things that they're called for, the motto of the organization. So how do they put that into practice?
So there's four pillars for the Knights of Columbus, for the degrees, and they're charity, unity, fraternity, and patriotism. And so those are, you know, just outstanding pillars by which a Knight of Columbus tries to model his life. All four of those help them to live out their Catholic faith, right? And so, you know, as Paul says, St. Paul says, you know, above all things, we're called to put on charity, and that charity is the one virtue that endures, right? And so that's the very first charity that we practice. We try to make sure that we practice unity. We think about the four marks of the Church: one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. So one being the first. So we make sure that we are united. As Knights of Columbus are united with their priests and with their bishop and with the Holy Father and with one another in their mission as Catholic gentlemen. And then fraternity, there's a real strong sense of fraternity. Not fraternity like on a college, and some people might think of that, although that can be a good thing. But fraternity in the truest sense, we truly are brothers and we're brothers in Christ. And then patriotism, one of the things that we do show, and, you know, I can speak on behalf of that from somebody who's an American citizen, that a Catholic, by living out his faith, actually makes him a better patriot, makes him a better citizen. So our Catholic faith doesn't pull away from our citizenship, but our Catholic faith strengthens our citizenship. And so those are kind of the four pillars in which the Knights are built. We are very strong when it comes to pro-life activities. And so the Knights of Columbus really are strong behind the message of life is sacred from conception until natural death and everything in between. And so we're very strong in that. We're very strong in the promotion of marriage as God has established it. We're going back to Genesis and how our Lord reaffirms in the Gospels. So we're very strong in that. And very strong in especially reaching out and meeting the needs of the poorest to the poor, people who have disabilities. You know, we do all sorts of things with that. And then one of the things that we're really drawing attention to is the plight of our Christian brothers in the Middle East, especially those who are being persecuted, who perhaps lost their lives, perhaps have been driven out of their homelands, which they've lived in for thousands of years. And so the Knights of Columbus are doing whatever we can in order to help to make sure that they are, our Christian brothers and sisters can remain in their homes, in their towns, in their villages. And so, especially I think the reason there's an endeavor for us to help to rebuild one of the towns in Iraq that was demolished. And so now that it's free for Christians to return, you know, they're not necessarily able to live there, and so it's going to take a lot of work on our part, working with them as well, in order to help to rebuild their towns, their villages, so that we can have Christians living in cities and villages and towns who which they've lived in, again, for not too long after the time of our Lord.
And this is something that's visible. People will see this no matter what diocese or parish you're at. Usually there's all these Knights of Columbus-sponsored events, and they'll have the little shield with the KOC. So if you see that and you're aware of it, now you know sort of where it comes from, and they're involved in all of these different things. So maybe let's go back. How was this the Knights of Columbus founded? What was their intended purpose?
So Father Michael J. McGivney, his story is told in a great book. I think our Sunday Visitor is the publisher, and it's called Parish Priest. And so I read it and I've listened to it. I loved it so much. I listen to it when I'm on the road. As many people know, I travel a lot of miles on the road, so a lot of times I listen to books on tape. And I read the book so much, I loved it so much that I also bought it to listen to it too. And so it started by Father Michael J. McGivney, who was a priest, parish priest back in Connecticut. So I founded in New Haven. And one of the primary reasons it was founded was to help to take care of widows and orphans. And so that was one of the primary reasons why it was founded. That's why one of the branches or one of the arms of the Knights of Columbus is it deals with insurance. And that, again, that continues that mission of the founding by Father McGivney today. So there's that part of it. It was founded also to help to strengthen Catholics in their faith, to give them a fraternal organization that they could be a part of, because especially in that time, we're looking 1882, in that time, there was a lot of anti-Catholic bias, and so it gave them somewhat of a vehicle to feel proud about their Catholic faith, to support one another as brother knights in their Catholic faith, and to help families to be faithful to their Catholic faith. Because when you're experiencing some sort of bias, sometimes the temptation might be to fall away from your faith or not be so public about your faith. But as the old saying goes, safety in numbers, right? And so that was one of the reasons too. And so it's, you know, those are kind of the founding, some of the founding principles or reasons why it was founded. And it's just grown and grown and grown. Not just simply in Connecticut, but again, Canada and the United States and Mexico. Some of the Cristeros, those who lost their lives during the Cristeros War down in Mexico, when the church was outlawed, the practice of the faith was outlawed. Some of those men who lost their lives were brother knights. And I'm proud to say, and this was through the generosity of the Knights of Columbus, that I have a relic of one of those martyrs, one of my brother knights, in my chapel, in my residence. It's San Jose Maria Robles Hurtado, who was known as the madman of the Sacred Heart. He had a powerful devotion to the Sacred Heart. And so through the generosity of the Knights of the Columbus, Cardinal Archbishop in Guadalajara, I was able to obtain a relic of his. So, and then, not just North America, the Knights are expanding and expanding and expanding. So I could talk and talk and talk about the Knights.
Yeah, and I'm mentioning the relic, we actually have a story and I think some photos of it on our website. So if you're interested in reading about that or checking out the photo, we can link to it in our show notes so people can check it out. And I remember that's a really neat story. And the Knights have done other things, like we have a story they did a coat drive and things like this. So
yeah, that's
the legacy lives on.
It's a really big one. And just think about that, how, you know, winter hits. And one of the things that really hits, especially the poor and the homeless, is just trying to find basic shelter and trying to stay warm. And so our brother knights are able to collect coats and pass out the coats to people who really need them.
And now something I just found myself wondering, what do the different degrees mean? So does it go first, second, third, fourth degree?
The first degree, and then you kind of move up in the ranks. And I myself, as I mentioned, I'm a fourth degree. If I weren't a bishop, I could dress in the fourth degree regalia. I could carry a sword and all those things. But as being a cleric, I don't do those things. But recently, and this is one of the exciting pieces of news at the Supreme Convention, was the announcement that they're going to change the regalia for the Knights of Columbus. In a sense, they're kind of updating it. And I think it's a pretty sharp uniform. It's a sport coat, nice patch, nice tie, slacks, trousers, and then a chapeau with also a patch. And I understand that they're going to continue using the swords, which is cool. I think the little guys, little ones, think the swords are the coolest things in the world. And I talk to knights who are adults, and they'll say, yeah, when I was a kid and I saw my dad with that sword, or I saw the knights with the sword, that was one of the things that inspired me to want to be a knight, because I want to carry a sword.
And actually, that's a really good point, too, because we have some photos from the dedication of our own cathedral here back when it was a different uniform. I think they actually had top hats. It was like top hats and tails. Yeah, and so we have some photos.
There was a little controversy when they switched then, as well as a little controversy when we switch now. And sometimes change is a little difficult, but before long, it'll be in the rearview mirror.
Right.
We won't even remember the current fourth degree.
And do you know, what do the different colors mean? So you'll see a knight, and sometimes they have purple or white.
I am so embarrassed that I just do not know what the colors mean.
Well, that's right. You know, we'll find an article and we'll link to it. Sometimes it's all right. It's one of those things, you know. But
I don't wear them, so yeah. I don't have to worry about them. All I do is know, one of the things is I know I can identify the knights right away.
Yeah.
I know, especially in things here in the diocese, when we have big events, ordinations, confirmations, my brother knights follow me all around for confirmation. I have some of them that will attend four masses on a weekend because they want to make sure that the color guard, the fourth degree, is there for all the masses. And God bless them, they have to listen to me preach the same homily four times over. But they're always in their fourth degree regalia. So for big events, we always have the knights.
And one thing I noticed is if there's ever a procession, especially like a Marian procession or something, they tend to sort of stay close to the statue, or if it's like the Eucharistic procession, which is kind of neat. It's like a form of guarding it, correct?
They'll do. They'll stand guard. A lot of times, you know, on Holy Thursday, when we set up the altar of repose, because the Blessed Sacrament's removed from the main tabernacle of the church, and an altar of repose is set up. And many times, Knights of Columbus, there'll be two Knights of Columbus, a standing guard. And not only are they keeping vigil with our Lord who's present, but also making sure that nothing happens to the Blessed Sacrament. So I'm always grateful for our brothers who do that.
Now, how do you, as you mentioned a lot of times at Mass, I've heard you many times encourage young men or just men of any age to join. How would they go about doing that? And if you kind of want to repeat, why is this a good idea, besides all the history we've mentioned?
Well, the best way to go about becoming a knight is to speak with a brother knight. And they can tell you all about the Knights of Columbus, and they can sign you up. And then eventually you can become a knight. And so that's really the best way to do it. If you go on the Knights of Columbus website, and we'll do a link of that here on our podcast. You go on the Knights of Columbus website, you can learn all about the Knights. Again, one of the things I think is great to read is that book about Father McGivney, Parish Priest. It's a great book. It's pretty inspiring. When I read it, it made me just feel that much more proud to be a knight. So you can do those things in order to become a knight. Why become a knight? And this is what I tell everyone. Because we need more faithful Catholic men in our society, in our world. Because what that does is it really, really raises, I think it, you know, it raises the tide, and a high tide makes all boats rise, right? And the faithful Catholic men can really help to serve as leaven in society, because they're living out their faith, they're practicing their faith. You know, those basic principles of charity and unity and fraternity and patriotism helps to make a stronger society. And it helps Catholic men grow in their faith. And when we grow in our faith, what that does is that leads us closer and closer to salvation. That leads us closer and closer to eternal life. That's what our faith offers us. And the Knights of Columbus are a perfect vehicle in order to do that. Because what the Knights do is say, be faithful, be practicing Catholic, be men of faith. And I can't say enough. So I would simply say this: of all the organizations that I belong to, and I belong to a number of organizations, it's the one that I'm most proud to belong to. It really is. I am a proud fourth degree knight. And so whether you're a first, second, third, or fourth degree knight, I consider you my brother, and I'll do whatever I can to help you grow in the faith, as well as I know that you'll do, my brothers will do whatever they can to help me grow in the faith too.
And I know it's not like it's a super huge time commitment or anything, especially when we're talking about men who might be fathers or have careers or anything like that. I mean, it's something that you can easily do as part of everyday life.
The purpose of the knights is not to pull husbands away from their wives and their children. And I think sometimes people think when somebody asks them to sign up for something, well, that's just another thing to do. But the Knights of Columbus, we want strong husbands. We want strong fathers. That helps to make, you know, good, strong Catholic husbands and fathers. That helps to make a stronger society. So I think sometimes people think, well, that's just another thing that's going to pull me away from my duties at home. Not at all. The Knights of Columbus should help you to be stronger in your duties at home. First and foremost, our primary ministry or apostolate, first and foremost, is always to our family. Because that's the vocation that God has established for each one of us, whether the vocation is as a husband, a father, whether a vocation is as a deacon, a priest, or a bishop. You know, that's what God has set us apart for. And what the Knights of Columbus can help us do is they can help us to be stronger in our vocation, our life vocation, as a, you know, as a husband or as a deacon or as a priest or as a bishop.
And as we kind of move into the home stretch here, is there anything else that you want to add about the Knights of Columbus people should know?
Yeah, they're thoroughly Catholic through and through. I look forward to the annual meeting every year. I look forward to seeing my brothers at some of our state meetings, seeing some of our brothers at fourth degree meetings. Sometimes if I'm able to, I'll attend a first degree meeting or some of the more local things. We are a unique diocese, and we're half in Arizona and half in New Mexico. And so I have the opportunity to attend two state meetings, so one in Arizona and one in New Mexico. And ours are usually take place, thank God, not on the same weekend. They take place in May. And so I always set those apart. And if I'm able to, I try to make sure that I'm at present for those. But yeah, I guess my parting words is any Catholic gentleman in good standing should be a knight. You can belong to other groups as well. That's perfectly fine. But I really believe that the Knights of Columbus are a great vehicle, a great way to strengthen you in your Catholic faith through the principles of charity and unity, fraternity and patriotism, so that you can be a more faithful member or son of the church, and you can really help to build up our society, really to build up a civilization of love.
And as Bishop mentioned, you know, we guarantee you know somebody who's a knight, and if not, or if you're a little too shy to speak in person, well, again, we'll have the links to both Arizona and Knights of Columbus websites in the show notes, or you can look up your respective state and find it there. So, all right. Well, thanks again, Bishop Wall, for hosting another episode. We look forward to talking to everyone next week.
You're welcome. Thanks, Suzanne. God bless.